KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth. 5301 Camp Bowie. We've got special guest galore, Corey. I know you got a shout out before we get to Mickey.
I'd like to shout out Anthony and Travis from Glenn. Anthony and Travis came and sat in on us, sat in with us.
I like the way you
when
said
we
it.
Were the night show, Kevin. Well, you know, when we were on nights, it was about 1 or 2 years before we turned into the daytime show.
Okay.
So shout out to them.
Excellent. And right now, brought to you by Ford in your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. Mickey, the Cowboys currently have the worst record in all of the NFL.
What are you going to do about it?
And also, I just wanted to introduce you or reintroduce you. We have a special guest. Who do we got here?
Mickey, it's Daniel Esteve. Obviously, we saw each other at Cowboys training camp, but if you flash back to the Rio Grande Valley days, the 956 for all my 956 listeners out there. Mickey, we used to do a Q&A weekly with my station KVEO down there. Looking forward to chatting some more Cowboys with you again.
Well, sounds great. Good that you were at training camp for what, about a week, right?
Yeah, about a week. 5 days. I think I got the first Micah Parsons, you know. Have we come up with a BC type of era of the Micah Parsons?
Oh, yeah.
We need to come up with something like that.
But you don't want to say BM. I got what you're saying. Yeah, exactly. You don't want to say that.
And now, by the way, thanks for gracing me about 50 minutes or so.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Did you get to sleep? Or are you running on little sleep? What's the situation now?
What would you rate 3.5 hours?
Yeah, that's little sleep.
That's enough.
That's good. Well, who needs more than that, right?
Yeah, that's one cycle through the REM cycle.
He hit a REM
cycle.
Enough.
Yeah, you're good.
Oh, well, see, I was going to give you some grace. They think you should just be quiet and do the report. Sorry, Mickey. Now, Mickey, this was a complicated game on a number of fronts. You were competitive throughout with the defending Super Bowl champion. But you can look back on this game and think, we really should have won this game. And that's why we've been cautious about moral victory this morning. I understand the people who say that, but I look at this game at least short term, and I'm like, dang it, you could have won that game.
Well, how many people out there would have said that before the game started? That they could go into Philadelphia in that atmosphere.
Not a lot.
I could have won the game. Because no one gave him that much credit, right? And I was just glad that, you know, some of the stuff I was telling you I saw in training camp basically came
to
fruition, right?
Yes, yes.
The offense was really good until the last couple possessions, couple drop passes kind of did them in. The defense finally figured it out the second half that, Jalen Hurts can run the football for 62 yards. I think he averaged like 8 yards a carry. And you know what? It was more than what the final stat showed because he actually ran for 65 and then he had minus one kneel downs. And they finally kind of contained that. So you saw Kenneth Murray, who I thought I saw in training camp, the guy can play. You know, and
he made some plays for sure.
My concern going in the game mostly was the offensive line, and I wouldn't have guessed that Philadelphia would have finished with only one quarterback hit. And as Dak pointed out, the only time he hit the ground is when he made the diving tackle after the fumble. Think about that.
You know what?
And they started Guyton, and he played the whole game.
I think that part is amazing. I also wanted to give some props to Dak. There were at least, and I need to go back and watch the game again, but there were at least two throws where I thought the pocket was not collapsing, but like really closing in around him. And he stood there and threw the ball, even though I could see how that would be a time where he would want to boogie out. So I thought his pocket presence was very good yesterday.
And I think when you get the protection he was getting, it gives you a little confidence that, okay, I can stand in here. I don't have to take off. Because if you're getting beat up left and right, then you're going, I'm out of here, right? Or you start looking for things that aren't there. So that was my other reminder. We talked about it the other day that, hey, Dak is back, right? let's not forget what he can do. Unlike the NFL top 100, when they had 16 quarterbacks ranked in the top 100, and he was 15th at 79, all right? There were 79 other players better than him in the NFL.
What kind of odds do you think we could have got a couple hours before kickoff that Jalen Carter or any player would spit on another player and get ejected from the game?
What an idiot. he hadn't even played a down yet, right?
I know.
It was
after the
kickoff return.
Yep.
And I don't know if you guys were able to hear Dak's explanation. He was trying to punk Booker, and Dak decided he was going to step in between and said, hey, leave my rookie alone. But he was giving him the treatment before the first snap.
Did you like Dak's explanation better or the pool report during the lightning delay when the ref goes, yeah, no, I saw him spit on him, and that was a disqualifying nod. I don't know if what people were expecting the ref to say, but he was like, yeah, no, I saw him spit on him.
Well, there was a follow-up question. He said, did that merit a disqualification? Well, yeah, absolutely.
You don't spit on people. That's what you teach your kids.
Yes.
You would hope you do.
Yeah.
Rule number one.
Yeah, that feels fair.
Just a weird, weird whole day, right?
Yes.
The whole game. Not to mention the delay for an hour and four minutes, whatever they officially said it was. And if they had started earlier, they were going to have to delay again. I don't think TV did justice on how hard it started raining.
Oh, okay.
At one point. Because when they had the pregame crew in the tunnel there, they couldn't see how hard it was raining. You could almost not see the other side of the stadium. It was raining so hard.
Wow.
There was a lot to unpack. And when I'm trying to write my column, and I kind of broke it down to like a 2.5 minute span from when Sanders took off on his 49-yard run that I don't know how he didn't go 60.
Yeah.
The linebacker catches him, right?
He's getting old.
And then the very next play, Pickens gets a 15-yard penalty. They're at the 11-yard line. And they ran for 3 yards, and he gets a penalty for unnecessary roughness on. They never showed the replay of the penalty.
I saw it. I thought it was a 100% valid.
I saw somebody get yanked to the ground, but I didn't see how it happened.
So essentially, it looked like George Pickens was trying to twist that guy's head off.
Okay.
Right, didn't it?
He's competitive.
Did he get
his
money's worth?
He did. I personally think he got his money's worth out of that. I really wish he would not. Like, what an eventful sequence. First of all, Bond showing that he's faster than Miles Sanders, and then the Pickens penalty, and then the Ferguson. Like, he was going to drop that pass even before he got lit up, and then another penalty, and then a fumble. Like, that was a crazy.
Yes. And I thought that was that decided the game right there. Because they would have been 2nd and 7 at the 8. And instead, they were 1st and 22 at the 23.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And then they kind of, you know, the penalty in the end zone. And they're right back to 1st and 10 at the 11, I think it was. And then the fumble. And, you know, a lot of times when you run the football, you don't need to be jump cutting when you're that close to the line of scrimmage. You just go get your yard, right?
Right.
And he gets tackled from behind, and they fumble. And that guy's going for a touchdown if Dak doesn't make a diving tackle.
Yeah, Dak secured his 100-point quarterback tackle for fantasy owners everywhere.
Because that guy's gone, because all I saw coming behind him was offensive linemen, and they weren't catching this guy.
Do we categorize George Pickens withholding maybe some more substantial abuse to a Philadelphia Eagles player as a big win for the Dallas Cowboys, showing big change for George Pickens?
You know, the other thing is they only had 4 penalties, and 2 of them were personal fouls, right?
Yeah.
It could have been 3 because they had 2 on the one play. And how did the guy yanking Leofau's
face mask off,
and he got called for face masking? How did that happen?
I really thought when he said there's two fouls on the play, and I was like, all right, well, it'll offset. And then they
exactly.
go both on the Cowboys. Yeah. And I was like, what? So I do admit I didn't get like real. I mean, I was mad that the Cowboys lost, but that play made me angrier than probably most every play except for the fumble. Now, I know a lot of the focus, and it's a complex game, but I know a lot of the focus has come down on CeeDee Lamb. I appreciate that he has accepted that focus and said he would be better. What was the vibe that you got from him last night?
Yeah, I didn't get a chance. I was in the interview room with Schottenheimer, and then Dak came in.
Okay.
I didn't get a chance to get into the locker room, but I kind of heard what he had to say. And, yeah, you know, step to the plate. You know, there was at least two balls you got to catch for sure. And then the deep pass, you know, it's a diving catch, I understand, but it hit him in his hands.
Yeah.
Which was an incredible throw to start with.
And CeeDee will tell you he needs to catch that
ball.
Yeah.
And so, you know, that gets in the way. But the thing is, nobody would have said the Cowboys would have a chance to win this game.
Except for you.
And I predicted them to lose, but it was going to be close, right?
Yeah.
And I think they showed people that, you know what, they're not 7-10 team that everybody is kind of stamped them with. I'm not saying they're not going to finish 7-10, but I think everybody was assuming since they were 7-10 and they were so bad, they're not going to be any better, right?
Mickey, I've seen that narrative so much around the Dallas Cowboys is, hey, this is a train wreck and they're going to be terrible. But at the end of the day, it's an NFC East showdown. You're playing the Philadelphia Eagles, a game that typically, especially with Dak Prescott, a quarterback, is going to, at the very least, be relatively competitive. The thing that kills me, and I'll credit Babe Laufenberg with this, when trailing going into the third quarter, Babe says the Cowboys were 4-33, now they're 4-34. Obviously, CeeDee Lamb dropping three balls in the second half was the last thing on my bingo card to see go wrong for the Cowboys, but something always goes wrong, and in a game where, yes, you have a chance to win, this whole idea, like Kevin has talked about, in a moral victory, it just doesn't sit right with me because it's always something that goes wrong.
So did you think they would be within
me on that last drive that we lose this game?
Did you think they were going to be within 4 points and three times in the game have a lead?
Mickey, I'm not a gambling man.
No, I'm just asking.
The close was 6.5, and I would have taken the Cowboys plus 6.5.
Oh, okay. All right. Well,
I would not have. It almost takes me back to when Colt McCoy or Mark Brunell was playing. Was it Mark Brunell was playing quarterback for the formerly known Washington Commanders? We know the name before. I mean, you talk about how those teams were always competitive, even when they were not great at all. The NFC East is just a competitive division. No matter what, I still go into maybe 3-4 years ago when the Cowboys were at their peak into a game against a lowly New York Giants team, and I was always nervous. And I think Cowboys Nation never goes into an NFC East game thinking, yeah, we're going to steamroll these guys. And if they are, they're pretty naive. The Eagles, just like Jalen Hurts said in his post-game presser with NBC, he was very impressed with how talented the Cowboys were, and they were expecting a competitive game. It's the NFL. You've got to think they're going to be competitive at the very least.
Well, if you'd seen the pregame stuff, you wouldn't have thought anybody in that stadium, 69,000 people, thought this was going to be competitive.
Hey,
they
listen,
were in here for
maybe I'm
cakewalk.
An optimist, but on Wednesday on So Sports on CW33, our Nurse Sports Show, I was talking with Sean McFarland of Dallas Morning News. I expect and wouldn't be surprised to see one of those old Peyton Manning, Tony Romo matchups, that Dallas Cowboys, Denver Broncos matchup from several years ago,
yeah,
where there was like a billion points
51
scored.
51-48.
That might be every week for this Dallas Cowboys team, but the offense is more than good enough to keep pace with any team in the NFL,
no,
in my opinion.
As long as the offensive line plays the way they played.
Which
now,
they did.
They got to figure out the run defense, and I know it was Saquon Barkley, but you know what? If I told you all he was going to run for was 60 yards, you would have taken it, right?
Hell yeah, I would have.
Although that touchdown run, the second one, that was unbelievable. I just said that is some kind of run. It was 11 yards, 12 yards. He must have broke three tackles and weaved his way through. He's quite it's just electric. But again, the problem was they let – Hurts out of jail way too many times.
Yeah.
And I heard
Dak
you guys talking about,
imagine,
you know, why didn't they spy him? Well, who do they have on defense that's going to run with him?
Which
DeMarvion Overshow.
Well, thank you. Yes. Maybe as he's rehabbing from a torn ACL.
Yeah, God, I would have loved to see that. I think this game could have been different with him. Man, thank you very much on a night that is kind of disappointing, but also better than a lot of us thought. We appreciate it. We'll catch up with you again on Monday.
Yeah, and the good thing is Schottenheimer said the same thing you mentioned. No moral victories, right?
Yeah,
we're disappointed we lost. So
Go get some more normal people sleep.
Yeah, get some
rest, Mickey. That can't be till tonight. There's okay. work to do today.
There you go. Mickey Spagnuolo, DallasCowboys.com, right here on 105.3 The Fan. Now, one more quick thing for you. We talked about the Dallas Card Show. Kyle, who runs the Dallas Card Show, has always all kinds of spicy sports opinions. He said the home team should forfeit in the professional sports if there's a delay for Lightning. The owners and city, they have plenty of money to build a roof on that building. So I like it. If we could have retroactively changed that, I would support that very much. All right, Daniel, where can everybody catch you again, and when can they see us?
I mean, I'm going to start with you guys because you guys are by far and away most important. This has been my strategy coming into the DFW is just bring cooler, smarter people onto my programs. And
I like
hopefully
it
elevates the status. So 6 o'clock tonight, the final Rangers Roundup pregame special. I'll go ahead and tease our theme is awards night. So we're going to be handing out some quote-unquote end-of-season awards. I know we've got some time there, but that show will feature a roughly 8-minute conversation between the three of us, which I thoroughly enjoyed. It was actually 15 to 20 minutes, and our director was getting pretty frustrated with how much we were talking. And then more excitingly, or just as exciting, we just launched our new sports program, finally brought sports officially back to CW33. So Wednesdays, it's digital exclusive right now, but we're getting to the broadcast. It's called So Sports on CW33, very much just a sports talk show on television. I've got some great guests, had Adam Schefter on Wednesday, had Sean McFarland, Dallas Morning News, and obviously used some sound from Micah Parsons and the like. So we're excited to bring that and introduce even more sports to the market that already has plenty to hear from.
Well, thank you very much, Daniel. We appreciate it. Coming up next, we will switch gears and do a little AM on the FM.
We got the question of the day, plus EA Sports not in the game next on The Fan.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live at Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth off of Camp Bowie. It has been a hectic day already, and right now we need someone to take over this show. We need Alec Medford, and it's time for this.
What does this button do?
Please, please, do not push the button. You have no idea of what it...
Alec, you be quiet.
Alec, that was awful. One for Alec, zero for Peyton.
Don't you dare touch that dial.
Don't you dare do it. It is time for AM on the FM. My name is Alec Medford, the man that they call the pride of Mansfield, Texas. And I will be the pride of Fort Worth, Texas tonight, as I will be back on the call for the Fort Worth All Saints against Prestonwood Christian Academy.
Ooh, the Lions.
Yes, so another heavyweight matchup that I am so looking forward to because high school football is simply the best. 877-881-1053. That is the Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys text line to answer today's question of the day. And plus, EA Sports says they're in the game, but they might not be making the game this year. We'll get to that here in just a little bit. But
Alec,
yes,
can I ask you a question of the day?
I'm scared.
If you no, it's a normal people question.
Oh.
If you continually cover, like, specific teams, whether it's All Saints or anybody else, do you find yourself, like, I know it's work, but do you find yourself getting more emotionally attached when you cover a team, like, multiple times?
Yes, I do. And I do exclusively call games for the Saints, so it's hard not to. Because you get to know these kids and you get to see the work that they put in. Wrong Saints, Corey, but good job. Protect the family is what we say around here. But, yeah, getting to know this coaching staff, and oftentimes I am broadcasting right next to some of the coaches in the box, you know. So, like, I go through those waves of emotions when penalties are called and whatnot. So, like, I'm right there experiencing all of it. So it's really hard not to.
I get you.
And when the program's really good, it's hard not to. Well, so whenever they're constantly making state championship runs, it's like, well, you know, it's easy to root for teams who are good. So very fun to watch those games and call those games. And they're usually barn burners, too. But gentlemen, before any of that, we still got a fine program to do right here on 105.3 The Fan. And I look at the National Day calendar and I see that tomorrow is actually National Read a Book Day. And ooh, it got me thinking, because I wish I had more time to go through some of the stuff that I do have in my bookcase, and I do plan on getting into some of that content more. But some of my favorite literary quotes and whatnot have come from books, and I want to know, what are some of your favorite quotes? 877-881-1053, some of your favorite quotes. It could be from a song, it could be from a movie, just something that stuck with you, that sticks with you. It could be your senior quote from high school that has stuck with you for many, many years. And I'll lead things off to give you guys some time to think. If you're ever in like a lack of motivation, go to John Cena's Twitter page. Almost every day, he tweets out some sort of motivational quote. And he tweeted one, I want to say it was back in May, that I have written down that has stuck with me. And it says, quote, get to that point where you do you, ignore the noise, it's not there for your benefit. I love that quote.
Okay.
And because it's just very direct and on the nose that, hey, everything that you hear is usually not going to benefit you. Everything that you hear about you is probably going to be against you. So just don't even care. Get to that point where you show up, you do your work, you know, as we talk about in spring training, everybody's favorite phrase, you know, just get my work in. Get to that point, and then everything's going to be all right. I've always liked that, and ever since I saw that, I've kind of approached my daily life different, and I think it's benefited me.
Now, I have two quotes, and it won't surprise you at all to know one comes from Star Wars and the other comes from wrestling. And I feel like the Star Wars one is relevant. Somebody just sent a link to the Hollywood Reporter. Is the primary dueling lightsaber from Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi of Darth Vader just sold for $3.65 million. So it's from Empire Strikes Back. Everyone always says, Luke, I am your father. And that's not how it goes. Is he's like, Obi-Wan never told you what happened to your father. He told me enough. You told me you killed him. And then Darth Vader goes, no, I am your father.
I thought he said, I'm your stepfather. No. And that was the misquote.
No. So I love that one. And then from wrestling, and I know what people think about wrestling, but it was the day after Owen Hart died, and one of the wrestlers said, I just hope I can be half as good of a person as he was so I can see him again someday. Mm. And I always thought that that was just, like, perfect. So, yeah, those are mine.
I don't know how I follow that up.
I'm sorry. Should I have done that one and then done the Empire Strikes Back one?
Yeah, probably so. Because then you would have followed up an amazing one with a good one, you know?
Okay.
That would have been easier for me. Picture me rolling in my 500 Benz. I got no love for these people. There's no need to be friends. That's Tupac Shakur from Picture Me Rolling. That is one of my favorites. As a matter of fact, I heard it last night at the Bearded Monkey when they started playing it during the break, during the rain delay, and I was like, oh, man, this is my song. Other than that, though, I would have to say to see a man truly succeed is to see him struggle through adversity. And
like
that's
that.
Seneca, B.C. And I think whenever you're going through hard times.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, exactly. Whenever you're going through a hard time, like if you kind of think of it that way. And I also love that idea of, you know, looking at obstacles as not obstacles and opportunities. Like that's that kind of goes with that mindset of you're in this struggle, but when you get out of it, the success is there.
You know what? Since you said that, Alec, and I'm sorry we're like saying all of the quotes. Another one I really like is when people talk about luck, and some folks believe that luck is when preparation meets opportunity.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I fall.
Denzel was the first person I heard say that.
Yeah.
And since that. Oh,
now
dude.
It's Denzel.
Dude, I think it was Brad Sham that said it last night. I can't remember. It was but he was quoting Parcells, and it was you know what? I'll get back to it later on.
Okay.
Because it was a really good one. It's just I can't remember right now.
Oh, that's called a tease.
Sorry about that,
ladies
guys.
And gentlemen.
Yeah,
that's what we
call C-block
that
coming
industry.
Up here at 1 o'clock.
Look at that! Look at that! I'm gonna pay that. I hope you pay that off. Maybe the what were we sipping on there? I saw when Kevin was talking about Star Wars.
This is clearly water with a salted rim. So don't worry about anything other than that.
I think you might be the only person on the planet who does that. But if that's true, I respect it. There you go.
It's not.
And, yeah, I don't know if I believe him. I'm just like how he's not a Philadelphia Eagles fan, apparently, too.
Oh,
you know,
that's why he's so happy today, I get you.
Yeah, that's why he's drinking right now, because you know he's in a great mood. and, gentlemen, you know EA Sports, they're saying is it's in the game. Well,
it's in the game.
They are not going to be making the game, it seems.
What?
Back in June, they posted a teaser on X, formerly known as Twitter, but it's Twitter to me, dang it. They said, bring the madness, let's run it back, with a picture of a basketball with the EA Sports logo, hinting that, hey, we're going to bring back the college basketball video game. Well, they might have prematurely announced something that they didn't actually have done, because it turns out they're actually one of three companies that had submitted the bid to obtain the license to make a game. Which, Take-Two, the company that oversees 2K Sports, was one of the others, and they already plan to make a DLC addition to the NBA 2K game where you can play college basketball. So it looks like 2K was already like, hey, we kind of already had this in motion, and you guys announced that you're going to make a whole new game when we're going for the license too. Let's pump the brakes there. So, and there's already people that are angry at 2K for how they've handled the NBA video game itself. So this whole thing is up in the air after EA Sports just straight up said, we're bringing back this video game back in June. 2K Sports is like, no, we're going to buy that license, buddy. Go ahead and stop talking about this. So, but again, money controls everything in these licensing deals. So it looks like 2K is actually going to be regaining control of that license, and EA is just going to have to deal with it.
That is crazy. What a PR misstep that they've had with that. Jeez. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we're live at Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth. Coming up next, it's time for Gridiron Gravy. We'll do some NFL season by the numbers right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Side the one, Lipke motion right to left, handoff, Javonte Williams, bang at left guard, and the Cowboys score the first touchdown of the season.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. Javonte Williams will score another touchdown. Wonder what kind of odds you could have got on double rushing touchdowns from Javonte going into this game. We're the KNC Masterpiece live from Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth, 5301 Camp Bowie Road in Fort Worth. Thank you guys very, very much. Now, we've gotten some divisive feedback today, and that's just based on, you know, people want to hear what they want to hear. And some people want to hear, hey, you went toe-to-toe with the defending Super Bowl champions on the road. You could have beat them. That's a positive. Other people want to hear, why the hell are we talking about moral victories? This is the Dallas freaking Cowboys. I have leaned much more towards the former than the latter, because you were predicted to win 7.5 games this year. You were tied for the biggest underdog of the weekend. But that is also sprinkled in with some frustration that this game was there for the taking, and you did not take it.
Yeah, you absolutely had the opportunity to do it. You did some positive things. Some negative things got in the way of a victory.
Yes.
And that's a learning experience, but it's nothing that you can hang your hat on and say we did good. You hang your hat and say we got to go back to work. And
right.
I think that's what – I mean, I have no doubt whenever Shoddy gets in his presser this week, that's what he's going to be saying, is we got a lot of work to do. We got some things to clean up, but we have a great opportunity. Kevin, Javonte Williams was on my bench in my fantasy league last night. You know why?
Oh.
Because I had no clue what to expect.
That's fair.
But I also drafted him because of the potential of what this offensive line could be.
Yeah.
And so I have him on the bench. He scored 20 points last night. 2 touchdowns, had receptions. He was good, fantasy-wise.
Yeah.
But so that's the thing, is like, we didn't know what to expect out of him. So a lot of people had some, I think they outperformed any of my expectations last night. But then, as you said, the expectations changed once I thought we could win the game.
And you know what? I'm really glad that you said that, is because I see this all the time, not just in sports, but in life. It's okay to change your mind or your opinion when presented with new data points or new information or whatever. And as that game went along, your anticipations change. Like, we were having that conversation with Mickey, and I 100% get Mickey's point about going into the game, I did not think that the Cowboys would have multiple opportunities to win this game. But as the game goes along, you change your mind. You change your feeling based on the flow of the game. And that's why it's frustrating that in the second half, you look at those drives and fumble, punt, punt, turnover on downs with the opportunity to go win the game. The game was there for you to take three different times on offense. And Schottenheimer referenced this. He talks about, like, championship plays, championship mindset, championship opportunity. I realize it was just one game. But yesterday, winning that game feels like it would have been a step in the right championship mindset direction. It's just you'd be 1-0 as opposed to 0-1. But it feels like you could say, because people like to say, when do the Cowboys win a big game? Well, winning on the road, defending Super Bowl champions, first game of the season. If you went in and won that game, that's a big win, but you didn't.
Before the game, Kevin, again, there was a different energy about this team. I don't know if you felt it because they were in Philadelphia and you can't feel things through a TV.
I didn't notice that, but when you bring it up, I can reflect and I'm like, I got what you're saying.
I was telling a couple of people last night, I was like, man, I think they have something to prove. Not just because of what they've done, you know, previously, not just because Shoddy's a new head coach. The Micah thing did help. There were a bunch of guys on the defensive side of the ball that wanted to come off the ball firing, and they had something to prove. There were a bunch of guys on that offense that had, a lot to prove from what they were last year. Dak hadn't played since, what, week 9 last year? He had a lot to prove. I think there were a lot of guys with a chip on their shoulder last night, and I hope they carry that chip for the rest of the season, too. Can I throw a couple numbers at you real quick?
Yes, please.
Mina Kimes posted this earlier. There was, last night, 42% of motion for the Cowboys offense.
Which is something that I feel like heading into the season, we talked about the hope.
Last year, they were ranked 29th in motion.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know that was a ranking, but here we are. 42% would have been fourth. So up there,
wow.
If you watched
from
the
fourth worst to fourth best.
Yes. Huh. So if you watched the offense last night, it looked better. It looked more functional. It looked like something that you see that's modern and that, as Shoddy says, hey, we're not going to go out there and throw all the gadget plays at you. We got them. But we're also we're going to dress up some of the things that we do real well in different ways so that you don't know what to expect. And that's all I've ever asked for. A little more like what McVay does. We're going to run out of this same formation over and over, but it's going to be different plays, and you don't know exactly what's coming at you. And then this one with Kenny Clark on the field. This is from Patrick Walker. With Kenny Clark on the field, 2.8 yards per rush against the Cowboys. When he was off the field, it was 6.6.
Wow.
So almost a 4-yard difference there, and that's the effectiveness of him. And so they got to work on when he's not on the field, obviously. But it's nice to have that dude in the middle.
Now, let's get some more numbers out there as we go around the entire NFL and dip into some gridiron gravy.
Dip it and rip it.
Let's talk about CeeDee Lamb. CeeDee Lamb is the fifth fastest receiver in NFL history to get to 500 catches. He's the second youngest behind Larry Fitzgerald, and he's the fastest Cowboy to make it to 500 receptions. I can't say that's particularly surprising given the continual evolution of the game and the push towards passing over the generations. But still, that's pretty cool.
And just think, he'd be at 507 right now if he wasn't such a chump, right? Cut the guy. Get rid of him.
Okay, well,
he's a number three receiver at best.
First of all,
allegedly.
You know how I am. I can't handle that cap hit. But, you know, obviously, I don't think one game is enough. I shouldn't be to push people one way or another. I still think CeeDee Lamb is unquestionably a number one wide receiver. I think you could make a really strong argument. He's one of the top six in the league. I am not going to say that game disqualifies all of that. However, at the flip side, you're making the big money. Make the big catches.
Okay, I know the big money exists.
And he did not.
This is a question now that might be another conversation. Would you like to see more balance between him and Pickens? Or would you like to say, no, this dude deserves 14 looks, this dude deserves 4?
Actually, no. I hate artificial balance for balance's sake. you go back last night, because look at CeeDee Lamb in the first half. Like, he was rocking and rolling in the first half.
15 yards a catch.
And it's on him. Like, he made, I know some people will say four. I'm going to stick with three, but three very egregious drops last night.
Yes.
And if you tag those on, and especially if the Cowboys win the game because of that, nobody is talking about balance today. Nobody is talking about the lack of George Pickens. They're talking about, well, you got the hot hand, you give the ball to CeeDee Lamb all day long. So if balance presents itself, hell yeah. But otherwise, if there's a game when it's going to be 13-3 targets for CeeDee and Pickens, or even vice versa, fine with me.
Whatever the game calls for is what you got to do, as Ron Washington always used to tell us.
Exactly. From the 214, where does he rank on fastest to a certain amount of drops? Actually, that's a good question, and we could probably investigate that. But I think
drops are weird. Just doing my research on drops, it's weird to get a consensus on them across the board.
Because some people have different variations of what's a catchable ball and whatnot. And so, like, I saw some spots saying three drops last night, which is where I fall. And then other people were yelling it should be four. I don't agree with that. But at the same time, like, he's capable of making that layout catch. And I thought it was a really well-thrown ball from Dak Prescott. I feel bad that Dak... Some people don't – it's hard to change people's minds about narratives, right? And I feel like some people are still sticking Dak with the narrative last night, even though I thought he made the throws that could have won us the game. It's just, unfortunately, whether it was Ferguson or CeeDee Lamb, they didn't catch the right throws. He made the right throws.
I agree with you, man.
All right, let's go from that to some news for tonight. The Chargers did announce that Mekhi Becton is questionable with an illness for that game in Brazil against the Chiefs. Obviously, I'm sure that will pop a big number as well. I don't know if you guys care about, like, the football ratings in general. We talked about this the other day, that the NFL claims that the Nielsen company has been undercounting their ratings. I want to know what happens with this rating because you had the giant weather delay. You had, like, the biggest name in football brand-wise. You have the defending champions. It's the first game of the season. It was a close game. So all the elements are for a monster rating. I wonder if it will be dinged at all for the fact that there was a giant weather delay and people were like, I like to hear Jason Garrett talk sometimes, but not that much. I actually think he did a good job yesterday. I really, really do.
I think it was in the post. Sean and RJ and Bobby and Peyton show was playing the audio from
sometimes
the post
Aiden.
This morning. Yeah, sometimes Aiden and Jacob. Him recounting Dak's conversation about what happened on the spit situation,
right,
whatever we're going to call it now. Spit gate. I don't want to call
spit
everything
Spit happens?
Gate. Yeah, let's call it spit happens, Kevin.
Okay.
I like that. And it was... Hey, he said he had to spit. Dak did. And so he did it over Booker's shoulder. And then Jalen Carter said, were you spitting at me? And he said, why would I do that? And then he got spit upon. So that was how that was how that goes. I think I thought that Jason Garrett did a great job being a reporter for the first time. Instead of somebody who, you know, was a coach.
Let me ask you a serious and important football question. Would everyone have relaxed just a little bit more if in the post game Jalen Carter said, sometimes you just got to spit up on that thing?
Everybody would have laughed
about it. Yeah, I think.
If he'd have just, hey, the D's nuts joke. I mean, just think about how much that added levity to it all.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. And plus, something to keep an eye on, and if you've already had your fantasy draft and you're depending on this guy, you're not going to want to hear this. Christian McCaffrey was added to the injury report with a calf issue. Now, that's not to say...
McCaffrey.
Christian McCaffrey. And that's not to say that it's going to impact his ability to play in this game. But it has to be concerning when somebody with a history of calf issues as of late is back on the injury list because of even some calf soreness. That has got to make you nervous.
Oh, yeah, it absolutely does. Unless you drafted Brian Robinson Jr.
Okay, but don't pretend... Oh, that's a good point. Okay, now that
Didn't
I
tell
of.
You I was doing that immediately?
See? Look. Gridiron gives and it takes away. Yesterday, I told you that Amari Cooper was like, I'm done. I'm just
retiring.
I had to make
an immediate move.
But today, we find out maybe Robinson will be able to pick up plenty of fantasy points this season. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. I am always excited about this segment. I am really excited about it today.
I dare you to be excited.
Dallas Cowboys, thank you. and no thank you notes. 877-881-1053. Send those in. We'll get to it next, live from Uncle Julio's in Fort Worth on 105.3 The Fan.